was already written, I would rise to the top. Now I give it everything that I got. Yeah, I'm gon' ball, yeah, I'm gon' be prepared for them suckers that be hating on me. Raised in the world that's so cold, why so much hate, I don't know. Stereotyped and they can't see how it is growing up as a young G.
Welcome to another week of the Tony Sands Show. I am Tony Sands. We have a great show for you today. Hey, we're going to go to the great state of Texas because that's where everything is going down. A lot of things is happening in Texas this week. We have the Army game going on in Texas, and we have a lot of talk going on about the Cowboys. That's right. I said the Dallas Cowboys. They needed one to get in or an interception to get out. And guess what they got? The interception to get out. But to help us get through, we're going to recap some high school football, and we're going to get into one of our main topics for the first half hour of this show. We're going to talk Cowboys football. That's right, folks. I said Cowboys football because there's a lot of things going on in Texas, and there's one guy that stands to make a change, if there's a change need to be, and that is owner, president, general manager, Jerry Jones himself, if there is a change to take place. But before we get into that, let me introduce you to my Texas insider, Miss the Bibbs. He knows everything when it comes to the great state of Texas. How you doing, Mr. Bibbs?
I'm doing good, Tony. How you doing?
Man, I'm doing fine, man. I'm doing fine. I'm quite sure out in Texas, there's a lot of things going on in your area. There's a lot of talk about a change may need to occur in the great state of Texas with the America's team, the Dallas Cowboys. What are you hearing a little bit about what's going on with the Cowboys? I'm quite sure you got a chance to see a finish that took place.
I'm a pretty big Cowboys fan. You know, I grew up watching the Cowboys in the 90s. I've been pulling for the Cowboys throughout my entire life. And to see them, you know, get down to the final game the last, three seasons from what they're saying, and to lose in the final game like that, interception like you said, oh, man, it's been pretty tough for us Cowboys fans down here. So, you know, like Mr. Jerry Jones said, it's going to have to be some changes made. And, you know, these changes are going to have to be made pretty soon, or you'll continue to have mediocre football teams in Dallas.
Now, you're saying changes, and that's the key word that we're going to use throughout this first segment talking about the Cowboys. What type of changes you think needs to take place in order for the Dallas Cowboys to understand that there's no more teams in the NFC East to have a debacle like this? If you don't watch out, you're going to have to bring Arizona back into the NFC East, because this happened with the Giants, happened with Philly, and now here's Washington. Who else is there left for either two botched field goal hikes and an interception?
It's just disappointing. It's just disappointing. It's kind of even hard to talk about at times. But, you know, the change is going to have to start from the head. And the head is the owner, general manager, president, Jerry Jones. And from what I've seen this year, he did take a step back as far as being on the sideline with the team, almost intimidating his players and his coaches by always having his presence seen as on the sidelines for the most part. But obviously that wasn't a big enough change for the team to overcome the obstacle and the journey and getting back into the postseason. So that's when it trickles down to what, the head coach. Honestly, I'm not the greatest or the biggest fan of Jason Garrett as a head coach, but I also believe in giving people opportunities to grow and to become great or to master their craft. And what I honestly think they need to do, Jason Garrett needs to do is he needs help. He's trying to call play. He's trying to run the team. He's trying to get the team motivated and ready for games. And it's just too much for a young coach of his nature to handle at once. I honestly think they do need to hire an offensive coordinator and give him the opportunity to run the team and not just call plays at the same time. But he said, from what I've been hearing, the reports I've been reading, is that he doesn't want to call. He doesn't want anyone to call the plays for him. He wants to go ahead and call those plays. Not to mention the defense. The defense was good at this year with injuries, like injuries from the middle of the field, from the linebackers to the defensive line, secondary. So I really can't put much blame on Rob Brown for his defense giving up the points that they gave up towards the end of the season. But at the same time, it's a what have you done for me lately league. And lately, his defense did not come up with the stops it needed to come up with at the end of games to get them into the playoffs. And so if they had to cut somebody, that would be my choice of person that you need to cut. But with that said, changes are going to have to be made.
But now you're saying Jason Garrett needs to step back and pretty much do what a head coach normally here in the NFL do, and that's be a head coach. Run the business part of it. What I mean by the business part, coach the players up, but turn that responsibility over to an OC is what we're hearing. It's to talk out in Dallas.
So turn over to the coordinators. That's what you have coordinators for. You have an offensive coordinator, you have a defensive coordinator, you have a special teams coordinator, and you let them coach the players and, you know, make the decisions as far as the players. But at the end of the day, you ultimately have the biggest decision. If you feel like something's not right, then you can step in and be like, well, no, we don't want to run this play. No, we're not going to put this player in this position right now. Or no, we're not going to do this right now. So that's what I mean by he needs to step back and just be the head coach, not the offensive coordinator.
Do you think that change will take place from Jerry Jones himself, or do you think Jason Garrett is going to take this offseason, look back at what happened with the Cowboys at the end of the season and say, you know what, I may need to make a change far as turning some of these responsibility over. Do you think that's something that's going to come from Jerry Jones or Jason Garrett himself?
You know, if Jason Garrett gets the opportunity, which I'm pretty sure he will get a chance to sit down and just analyze some game film, analyze himself and critique himself on how the season started and ended, then yes, he'll see that in certain situations throughout the season that he did need him stepping back probably would have been the best thing for him to do, and why it probably would have helped him more throughout the season with better situation, better play calling, better game management. And I think that when him and Jerry get a chance to sit down and go over these type of things, then they'll come to a conclusion as to what they would need to do as far as him stepping back and just being a head coach and hiring an offensive coordinator. So definitely, I definitely think that it's going to come down to those two. It's going to come down to those two mainly, you know, figuring out if this was best for the team. And, you know, I think that's best for the team, but you never know what those two minds are thinking.
Now, so, Tony Romo is up,
Tony Romo.
Up for a new deal. Tony Romo is up for a new deal. Do they extend his deal, or do they let him play out this last year of his deal and see what they're going to get? If they get the same thing a fourth time, do Jerry Jones decides that it's time to part ways with Tony Romo? Or what do you think?
I think they, if it was me, I would have let him play out this season. I wouldn't give him a contract extension this season. I'll let him play out the season, and then we'll, you know, sit down and analyze the season, especially if they make the playoffs. For the 2013 year, then, yeah, you give them a contract extension. Nothing massive like a 4 or 5 year deal, maybe a 2 year contract extension. But at the same time, you draft a young quarterback this year and you groom him into possibly being your quarterback for the future. So I don't think that they'll give him a contract extension this year. Now, that might tick Tony Romo off, but who cares? I mean, he hasn't really done much as far as getting us to the postseason and winning postseason games. So, what kind of leverage does he really have?
Exactly.
You have to take what you can get, you know?
Yeah. In this day and age of professional sports and college sports, you got to win. And you got to figure out, as a quarterback, how do I get over the hump? How do I get over the hump? We're going to tell you about that after we come back from this commercial break. You're here on the Tony Sands Show with Mr. Bibbs, our Texas insider. He's giving us the inside scoop on what's going on in the Dallas Cowboys world. But when we come back from this commercial break, we're going to talk about and continue to talk about what is it going to take to get the Cowboys back on track here on the Tony Sands Show.
If you have the need for speed, or do you simply just want to lose weight, or get the best training to help you develop your skills, whether it's football or any other sport, just to name a few different skills you can learn, like agility, balance, coordination, assistance, and resistance. In order to be the best, you got to get trained by the best. Tony Sands at GetSensational.com. For more information, call 954-691-7804. Once again, 954-691-7804. Call now.
Still be a baby, baby.
Back here on the Tony Sands Show, we're talking Cowboys football with our Texas insider. Our Texas insider, Mr. Bibbs. Bibbs, what I'm, and also some headliners hit a little bit about Dez Bryant avoiding structural back damage. What are you hearing about Dez Bryant's back?
I haven't really heard too much about it. I, from what I've been hearing, that it's probably not too serious of an injury, something that it won't hold him out next season. What he's going to do, go in and get evaluated, make sure there's no, like you said, not any structural damage going on with it, something that won't be a reoccurring injury. And honestly, I believe he'll be fine for the next upcoming season. That's the report that I've been getting.
And as you said, you know, his back spazzed up. I saw him on crutches at the Oklahoma State-Purdue game.
Right.
Also left FedEx Field in a wheelchair. And if anyone understands, when you have a back injury, how that is so devastating to the rest of the body, because the spine is the center nervous system that controls the body. And I can understand, and I know that, got to be very painful when you're talking about the Cowboys' leading receiver. He already has, his left index finger. It's broken. I'm quite sure they're probably going to look at have it undergoing surgery this offseason. But not only that, now, you know, DeMarcus Ware, who has a shoulder and an elbow injury.
Right, and he's going to probably need off-season surgery to go along with the rest of the injuries the rest of the Cowboy players have. So, you know, it's going to be a pretty tough off-season for the Cowboys training staff. They're going to have a lot of work to do to get these players back to 100%. But, you know, I think DeMarcus Webb, he's fought through injuries throughout his career, neck injuries, shoulder injuries, rib injuries. I think he'll be fine also. But when you go back to Dez, Yeah, with him seeing him get carried off in a wheelchair out of the field, and then, you know, being on the crutches the later that week, I mean, that's a sign of a progression from going from a wheelchair to crutches. So all we can do is hope and pray that, you know, his back isn't too damaged too bad, which I don't really think it is. They're going to go through the proper procedures, you know, to get him back to where he needs to get to. And I think he'll be fine, but he's going to have to put in a lot of work, you know. And like you said, anytime you have a back injury, that's a pretty severe injury. You know, that spinal cord and that nervous system controls just about everything that goes on throughout the body, especially in us athletes or athletes in general.
Correct.
Anytime you have injuries with the back, you know, you have to really just you take that very cautiously, and you have to do all the proper precautions to get it back to 100%.
And now,
I think it'll be fine.
And that's because that's going to be important. That's going to be important when you're talking about DeMarcus Ware, the top guy on your defense, and you're talking about Dez Bryant, one of the top guys on the offense of the Cowboys. These two guys make the Cowboys go. But, you know, so many people are putting the pressure on Tony Romo. Now, Tony Romo, let's look at some of his statistics he had. Tony Romo had 4,903 yards this year. That's a heck of a season for a quarterback. That's putting up some numbers. Dez had 1,380-some yards, and DeMarco Murray had 663 yards. So the offense, when you look at those stats, you know, we understand that DeMarco Murray's been banged up. When we look at it, Jason Witten even had over 1,000 yards and caught 110 receptions. Dez had 92 receptions. When you look at those statistics as far as the passing game go, you would say Tony Romo is a productive quarterback. But what is the one thing that separates him from the Peyton Mannings, the Tom Brady's? What is separating him from those type of players?
You know, and I honestly, I believe what separate him, well, first and foremost, the mistakes that he makes. He makes critical mistakes in critical situations, you know. But at the same time, I've never really seen Tony Romo have not even a decent run game. You know, anytime a quarterback has a running back that they can lean on and, you know, in late in ball games, that's always a plus for a quarterback. Now, I'm not saying, because we've witnessed Tom Brady play without the best of running backs, but he also plays in a different system, and Tom Brady is like one of the greatest quarterbacks we've ever seen play the game. So I don't want to compare Tom Brady and Tony Romo because they're not even on the same level. But I believe Tony Romo is a very talented quarterback, but he's going to have a run game consistently throughout the whole season for him to ever be as good as he can be, and that for him to ever be able to have the pressure taken off his shoulders at all times. Because it's been games this year when we've seen Tony come out and throw 50 passes a game. Not Tony Romo. You don't want to give Tony Romo that many opportunities to throw interceptions 50 times. I guarantee you he's going to give you a couple of picks somewhere in there. So if he had a run game, if he can sustain a run game throughout the season, which we saw late in the season when DeMarco Murray came back and they put up a couple of wins in December and in the end of November, that the Cowboys were a lot more balanced team. And Tony Romo made a lot less mistakes. But when he doesn't have anybody running the football for him, that's when he's more vulnerable to making those bad decisions and just putting the ball in areas that it shouldn't be, you know. And not to mention, his offensive line is not the greatest offensive line in the NFL, and I don't want to make any excuses for him, but anytime you get pressure in the quarterback's face like he has pressure in his face, he's susceptible to interceptions at all times. So, you know, I really think that if he can get a run game, then he'll be a lot better than where he's been.
Correct. Now I'm gonna tell you something. You know, I'm looking at Jerry Jones and the way Jerry Jones came to Texas. Jerry Jones came to Texas clearing house. He cleared house. When you get rid of and have the guts to get rid of a Tom Landry,
right,
and then you bring in Jimmy Johnson. Here, Jimmy Johnson is a young college coach coming in to the pro ranks. He's been, I would say, I know he's upset and angry because I've been around Jerry Jones quite a bit. He can become very, when things are not like he think they should be, Jerry Jones speaks his mind, because Jerry Jones loves the media, and he understands that Dallas Cowboys is America's team. And winning games brings more fame to the Dallas Cowboys. But I'm going to read a quote from what he said on his radio show earlier on KRLD-FM in Dallas. This is coming from Jerry Jones Wednesday morning. Jones said, "I can assure our fans this, that it's going to be very uncomfortable. From my standpoint, it's going to be very uncomfortable for the next few weeks and months at Valley Ranch." Now, when someone says that, how do one take that? Do you say, okay, hey, Jason Garrett, you're not invincible. I haven't stated that I will keep you, and I haven't stated that I will let you go. But now, there's one guy that is familiar, that's right now on the open market, that's familiar with the Cowboys, have helped the Cowboys win several Super Bowls. And if I say his name, everyone in Dallas will love this name. North Turner. Do we bring in North Turner? Do you bring in North Turner?
If it was left up to me, I would bring him in as offensive coordinator. But you really don't know how much of a rift that would cause between, you know, the coaching staff. It's almost kind of undermining Jason Garrett to a point where, if he doesn't, you know, perform, if his team doesn't perform to what it's supposed to, then he's probably going to lose his job, and then North Turner will probably be promoted to the head coach. So I don't know what type of drift that would cause, but why not? You hadn't won anything with him as a head coach by himself so far, so why not bring in North Turner? And like you said, North Turner has a history with the Cowboys. He helped win Super Bowls with the Cowboys. He made track into the quarterback that he was. So, you know, why not bring him in? Maybe he can help Tony Romo get over the hump that he's been trying to get over for the last 6 years. He's been in the NFL. So no. I'm all for it. Bring in North Turner. But, you know, have other people that might not be so, you know, accepting to that decision.
And I know Jason Garrett would probably be a little uncomfortable with that, because here North Turner has been a head coach in several places. And I know one thing that as a head coach you always look at when you're bringing in another head coach, will he undermine me with his intent to get this job? Or will he understand that, hey, you are the offensive coordinator, and I'm quite sure if a guy like North Turner come in, I know Jerry Jones will put stipulations probably on Jason Garrett. And does it hold him back as a coach and say, hey, you only person that North Turner has to answer to, that's me, Jerry Jones. He doesn't have to answer to you. Do a guy like North Turner come in with those type of demands when he's coming in? Hey, I've been a head coach in several spots. I've been a Super Bowl champion offensive coordinator. Jason Garrett has none of that under his belt. None of that. But now when you look at that offense mirrors the same type of offense that he had when he was winning championships with the Cowboys. You look at Dez Bryant and you say, okay, I know he's not up to the Michael Irvin statue, but we can, with a guy like North Turner, we can get him there. You look at DeMarco Murray. I know he's a different type of back than Emmitt Smith, but I think he can carry that load there. And you look at Jason Witten. You match him up with Jay Novacek. To me, it is the same type of offense that North Turner won Super Bowl. So do people start saying, hey, maybe we bring in North. We bring in a guy with his smarts, because now North is a heck of an offensive coordinator. I don't know so much about his head coaching, but I know he is a heck of an offensive coordinator. And I think that's what may bring so much excitement to this, picture with Jerry Jones. What you think?
I agree exactly with everything you said. Why not? Like I said earlier, why not bring him in? He's the team that you just named. That's the one we have this year, as opposed to the team that he had in the early '90s. It's almost identical. Yeah, the credentials are not all the way there as far as stats and the Super Bowl rings, and you know, but the potential's there. And I believe with the potential that the Cowboys have, with the players that they have on the roster as of now, North Turner could most definitely help them out as far as getting over the hump and, you know, winning more ball games and becoming more consistent. Now, one thing I will say is that the Cowboys had the number six reigning scoring offense in the NFL this year. So that, I can see why, you know, Jason Garrett might be like, well, my offense didn't have too much of a problem. Well, maybe earlier in the season, but we got together later in the season, which is why I might not want to give over my play calling duties. But with that said, like I said earlier, they hadn't went anywhere with the offense that they have had so far. So why not bring in a North Turner and help you get over that hump, take off some of the pressure that you have throughout the games that you're dealing with as far as game management and, you know, personnel and putting players into the right positions to make great plays. Now, you know, so
go ahead.
No, I'm done. Go ahead.
Okay, now we look at let's look at. We're going to look at the first eight games of the Cowboys. I'm going to read them off here. They lost to Seattle. Seattle put up 27 points on them. We look at Chicago. They lost there. Chicago, you know, it was 34-18. We look at Baltimore. It was 31-29. We look at the New York Giants, 29-24. And we look at the Atlanta Falcons, who was rolling at that point, 19-13. But let's look at the points that they put up earlier against the first round when they met the New York Giants, the first game of the season. They put up 24 points, 24-17. They won that game. Tampa Bay, they went Tampa and put up 16-10. They went to Carolina, which Carolina's down. They put up 19 points on a Carolina. And the next team they played the Philadelphia Eagles, where they put up 38, and they went to overtime with Cleveland. So, you know, they put up numbers. They put up big numbers. But is it enough for them to win what Jerry Jones is trying to win? He's put a lot of money into that stadium, and I'm quite sure the next go-round, he wants to be playing in his stadium.
Right. From what you just called out to me, that season just sounds like a very inconsistent season. Like, There was no consistency throughout the season. They played some good teams, pretty good, and then you have a team that they should have beat handedly, and they would play them down to the level that they played at, you know. And I don't think a Super Bowl contender has teams that they don't – I don't think a Super Bowl contender can be that type of team. Very erratic. You don't know what you're going to get week in and week out. When you have a Super Bowl contender – unless it's like the Giants last year. The Giants came, they got high at the end of the season.
Correct.
Went into the playoffs, and they, you know, they kind of ran through everybody. But that's like a once-in-a-lifetime type of team, you know, that does teams that do things like that. But normally when you get a Super Bowl winning team, they're very consistent. They have consistency. They
Correct.
Beat the team they should beat, and they might have some close games in there, but they come out on top in those close games. The Cowboys had a bunch of close games, but they didn't come out on top. And if they had different plays go another way, maybe, then they probably would have been in a playoff this year.
That's what we're talking about, playoffs. You got to get in playoffs in this day and age of football. You got to win, folks. It is very important that you win or you're out. If you look at the Falcons that took on great significance when it comes to numbers in the NFL. A lot of these guys were not getting in the playoff. Lovie Smith is one of those names. I thought that Lovie should have stayed around in Chicago, but Chicago owner and management thought different. You know, and that's the day and age of this because they're being paid so much money to win. Now, Bibbs, you're going to keep us impressed. You're going to keep us on top of the Cowboys. I want to stay on top of the Cowboys, and I know you are our insider for Texas. So we're going to let you continue to bring us each and every week inside story on America's team, because they are the most glamorous team in the NFL when it comes to the gossip that goes on. So we want to make sure that you bring us that information each and every week here on the Tony Sands Show. And it was a pleasure having you on today. I'll call you after the show is over, because after this show tomorrow morning, I'm on my way to San Antonio to the Army game here on the Tony Sands Show. See you later, Bibbs. We're here until commercial. Then we're taking you to Denver Broncos with our insider for the Broncos, who's going to bring us the inside scoop on Peyton Manning and the success of the Denver Broncos here on the Tony Sands Show.
Ladies, whether you're trying to look good for that special someone, or you're Miss Independent and you just want to look good for yourself, listen, you need to scratch where you've been going, because sensational is where you need to be. Where they specialize in shortcuts, weaves, sew-ins and wraps and so forth. At Sensational Beauty Salon, it's guaranteed that they'll have you looking
speechless.
For an appointment, call 954-786-3997. That's 954-786-3997. Located at 801 South Dixie Highway, Suite 5 in Cypress.
Commercial brought to you by Focus and Dirty B.
If you have the need for speed, or do you simply just want to lose weight, or get the best training to help you develop your skills, whether it's football or any other sport, just to name a few different skills you can learn, like agility, balance, coordination, assistance, and resistance. In order to be the best, you got to get trained by the best. Tony Sands at GetSensational.com. For more information, call 954-691-7804. Once again, 954-691-7804. Call now.
I will rise to the top. Now I give it everything that I got. Yeah, I'm gonna ball. Yeah, I'm gonna be prepared for them suckers that be hating on me. Raised in the world that's so cold. Why so much hate? I don't know. Stereotyped and they can't see how it is growing up as a young G.
A lot of excitement, of course, over the NFL season. But as it begins, there's a dark cloud over the Indianapolis Colts star quarterback Peyton Manning.
They would not have signed him to that contract unless they feel that he's going to be able to play a good part of the contract. Because I'm sure they gave him plenty of physicals and they gave him all that money, so they must feel confident this is a temporary scenario.
Peyton Manning continues to be in the news, sidelined after neck surgery, as you know.
Can Peyton come back? I mean, that's really the most important question.
And they brought Kerry Collins in, who is an experienced backup.
Welcome here to the Tony Sands Show. If you heard that sound bite, that was a sound bite of the Indianapolis Colts parting ways with Peyton Manning. Where will Peyton Manning go? Will he go to Miami? Will he go to Denver? Will he go to Miami? Will he go to Denver? But to give you the insight on where Peyton Manning wind up at that point in time, I'm bringing to my show here on the Tony Sands Show, I'm bringing one of my main mans that handles Denver Bronco. He is the insider for the Denver Bronco. He is the producer and host of the Predominantly Orange Sports Radio Show that covers the Denver Broncos. You can hear this show via internet at predominantlyorange.com. Welcome to the Tony Sands Show, Broncos insider Von Carter. How you doing, Von?
I'm doing fantastic tonight, Tony. How are you, sir?
Man, I'm doing good, man. We was in Dallas 15 minutes ago. We were talking to the Dallas insider, Mr. Bibbs. He was giving us the insight on what's going on with the Cowboys. Jerry Jones is kind of frustrated with the way the Cowboys ended this season. He was looking forward to getting in the playoffs. First time in a while. That didn't happen. Tony Romo throws an interception. Boom. Game's over. They're winding up. They're home at this point in time. Place where Jerry Jones did not picture himself being. He wants to see what it tastes like to get a playoff game in that stadium.
That's right.
And I don't call that a stadium. I call that a palace because that's what it is. That's a palace. But to turn the curve, let's go ahead and get into the Broncos, man. Tell me a little bit about Peyton Manning.
Oh, man. Well, Tony, as you know, this has been a phenomenal season, and Denver Bronco fans from coast to coast are totally excited at the fact that the Denver Broncos now sit at a 13-3 record and the number one seed in the AFC conference. And Peyton Manning has been electric. The magical season is continuing, as we've seen. And so all is well in Denver. I mean, this has been a magical season as Manning has 4,659 yards passing and 37 touchdowns, Tony. So as you've seen and fans around the country, this is a phenomenal football team the Denver Broncos have this season.
Now tell me this. Before a lot of this could happen, there had to be changes that took place. And a lot of people thought, with the Denver Broncos bringing in John Elway, a guy that really had no front office experience, but he ran his own car company that was a great, successful car company. People thought, how would he transition from selling cars to the front office and running and making critical decisions for the Denver Broncos? What were people saying when this started taking place?
Well, you know, it's funny that you mentioned that, Tony, because a lot of people right now are looking at the outcome of the Denver Broncos 13-3, number one seed in the AFC, and it's a marvelous story. But as you mentioned, there had to be some changes that had to take place, and those changes were exactly what you mentioned, which is John Elway coming into the organization and Pat Bowlen, the owner of the organization, giving John Elway the right and control of the football operations of the Denver Broncos. And at that point, things changed. I mean, it wasn't long ago, Tony, as remember, Josh McDaniels was the head coach of the Denver Broncos. And that was, you know, a turbulent tenure as the head coach, as McDaniels, as we all knew at that time, was the youngest coach in the NFL when he was hired. And shortly after that, you know, Jay Cutler and the Josh McDaniels soap opera took place. And Josh McDaniels jettisoned Jay Cutler to the Chicago Bears. And if we remember, you know, Brandon Marshall received the same fate. He was traded to the Miami Dolphins. So there were changes that were going on in the Broncos. And a lot of fans, including myself, were really scratching my head at the time. And, you know, Josh McDaniels ended his career. He was fired, as we know. He had an 11-17 record, and he should have been fired. And it was a rough time for the Broncos. But one good thing came out of the Josh McDaniels era as the coach. I mean, let's not forget. I mean, Josh McDaniels did make some good draft picks. He drafted Eric Decker, who's the wide receiver, and Demaryius Thomas, who's also the starting wide receiver for the Broncos today, who Peyton Manning's having great success with. So he made some solid picks there. He also drafted Knowshon Moreno out of the University of Georgia, who was a solid running back. And Moreno struggled for his first three seasons, but let's not forget, he's having a great season now filling in for the injured Willis McGahee. And he also drafted David Booten, who's a Pro Bowl special teams player. And let's not also forget, Tim Tebow was drafted by Josh McDaniels. Now, I understand Tebow's not having a good career right now, but the Broncos were able to utilize Tebow last season and go to the playoffs with him. So there were some good things that McDaniels did in the draft, but overall what it allowed is Pat Bowlen, the owner of the Denver Broncos, to get rid of Josh McDaniels and put his faith in an organization in the hands of John Elway. And that's when John Elway hired John Fox. And from there, John Fox and John Elway acquired Mr. Peyton Manning.
Okay, and we're going to listen to a soundbite.
Definitely.
On when Peyton Manning was coming to the Denver Broncos. My engineer is going to play this, and let's listen to this, and then we're going to continue on this road of how the Denver Broncos are where they're at this point in time.
Like 6'5", 230-pound quarterbacks. Plays your rocket arm.
I'm still concerned about Peyton's health because the team is
this highly coveted free agent in NFL history. Where will Peyton Manning go?
Miami having secured a face-to-face with Manning.
So what about the Redskins stock and all this?
And the Tennessee Titans are also expecting a visit.
Every team except 4 or 5 should want Peyton Manning over their current starting quarterback.
We heard Bud Adams come out and tell the Tennessee on Sunday, hey, we want Peyton Manning.
I think Peyton Manning's one of the best all the time. And anybody would be happy to have him. I know the Broncos are going after him pretty hard. So
Peyton Manning has asked his agent, Tom Condon, to begin negotiations with the Denver Broncos.
Wow.
A new chapter begins for the Denver Broncos. They also become an NFL legend.
Manning is a pro on the field.
Might put the Denver Broncos in the bottom four to the NFL because I think if they would want, number one, a bona fide, no doubt, Super Bowl contender, and this team is not that.
Now, if you heard the end of that soundbite, that was one of the announcers from ESPN, one of the experts, sir, per se, that never played the game. And his end of that soundbite was he didn't think the Denver Broncos was a contending team this year for the playoffs. He's been proven very wrong. You guys bring in Peyton Manning, and it, you know, it was so much hype about Peyton Manning, but there was so much skepticism about Peyton Manning. Do I bring in a guy that has had major back surgery? And they were saying they didn't know if his arm would be enough to get it balls down the field.
Right.
John Elway says, now you got to understand, and let's paint this picture. John Elway, a new guy in the front office, takes a chance on a guy that just had major surgery. What were people saying at that point? What was people saying in Bronco land? Were they saying that this was a great move? Were they saying, I don't know, should we even waste our time in bringing in this guy? What was being said in Bronco land?
In the beginning, fans were very skeptical at the fact that they were getting rid of Tim Tebow at first.
You know,
Tim Tebow had just taken the Denver Broncos on a magical season and, you know, some heroics, and just beaten the Pittsburgh Steelers. And although they lost to the New England Patriots and Tom Brady up in New England in a bad loss, the fans were really in support of Tim Tebow. However, when John Elway put the faith in Mr. Peyton Manning, that took it and ratcheted up a whole different notch, because Peyton Manning's one of the greatest quarterbacks in the NFL. And John Elway of Colorado says, you know, this is the quarterback of the future, or this is the guy that we need to go with, everyone in Denver Bronco land, all the Bronco maniacs were totally 101% on board.
So once John Elway, here a guy that's the legend in Bronco land, say, hey,
that's right,
you hit your wagon to Peyton Manning, and he's going to bring you this type of success. But knowing that they really didn't know exactly if that takes place, I'm going to run down the first 6 games, because I know a lot of skepticism had to come in when it comes to the first 6 games. Week 1, Sunday, September 9th, you guys play the Pittsburgh Steelers, and you come away with the win, 31-19. Everybody's probably going crazy. They're going crazy.
Everyone, totally excited when that happened.
But then you go to Atlanta the next week on a Monday night, September 17th, you go to Atlanta and you lose 27-21.
Right. What and was being said at that point? Broncos started off slow and gave up a few turnovers. If we remember, Peyton Manning threw an interception that was returned for a touchdown. They had a bad game that game.
Correct. And now the next week you lose again. They lose again to Houston, 31-25. They go and beat Oakland. They lose to New England, as we spoke about, and they go and beat San Diego.
That's right.
And when they beat San Diego, that game, to me, was a turning point in the Broncos season.
I agree. You know, coming back from 21 points down at halftime, you know, is in any football game is a huge deficit to come back. But to come back on the road, 21 points down, and to come back and win that game on Monday Night Football, I agree. That was the turning point in the season. And I think that's the time when Peyton Manning's arm strength started to really come back to him, to the way where he was going to be able to really extremely effective.
And I'm going to tell you something. After that San Diego game, the Broncos rips off 10 straight wins.
That's right.
10 straight wins.
That's right.
You guys beat New England. I mean, you beat New Orleans 34-14. You beat Cincinnati 31-23. You beat Carolina 36-14. You beat San Diego again 30-23. You beat Kansas City 17-9, which is a great rivalry game. So to me, when you always say that game there, you throw out records because those
that's
two teams
right.
are going to battle.
That's what we call a trap game.
Exactly. Exactly. They're going to battle. And then, like I say, you beat Tampa, you beat Oakland, you beat Baltimore 34-17.
In Baltimore, too. That game was in Baltimore. So,
in Baltimore.
You know, that's a place where the Denver Broncos have never won historically. The team had never won a game in Baltimore before. So that was a big game.
And when you look at Peyton Manning's stats, and they're unbelievable. You got to figure he had 583 attempts and completed 400 for 4,659 yards, 37 TDs. 37
yes.
TDs. At his age, when you look at those statistics, Peyton Manning is having probably one of the best years of his career. One of the best years of his career. And he spreads the ball around now because you look at Demaryius Thomas, you receive, he has 1,400 yards. And then you look at Decker, he has 1,000 yards with 84 catches. So he has 13 touchdowns. Thomas has 10. You guys are spreading the ball around. And as you stated, your passing offense is fifth overall in the NFL. Your rushing is 16. You guys are at the top echelons when it comes to offensive performance in the NFL. In the NFL, did Bronco fans imagine that this type of success will go on?
Oh, I mean, this is, you know, especially with the guy with the neck injury and everything, you know, for him to bounce back the way that he has right now and to have the success that he has, I mean, this is probably his best season, as you just mentioned a moment ago.
Yeah, and he's already in the naming for and this is what I want to ask you. I want to ask you this, too, because I know you, and I know with the predominant orange, you're probably going to want to be a little biased, but I'm going to ask the question anyway. Which award do you give him, MVP, or do you give him Comeback Player of the Year? Because, you know, he's in both of those categories with Adrian Peterson.
I think I would give Adrian Peterson the most valuable player of the year due to the fact that I think that the Minnesota Vikings would not be where they are right now without Adrian Peterson. I think the Denver Broncos, being that they went to the playoffs last season,
correct,
with Tim Tebow, I think that I would have to give the award to Adrian Peterson by what he just did this past weekend by putting his team on his back by beating Green Bay to get into the playoffs was phenomenal. So not cutting Manning short or anything, but I just think that Peyton Manning has to beat Tom Brady on his way to the Super Bowl, and he has to get a Super Bowl victory. I think that's more of the direction where he has to go, and I think Adrian Peterson does deserve the MVP, though.
And that is the key. Does he deserve which one of those awards? I mean, both of these guys have had heck of a season coming back from the devastating. These injuries, in a lot of players' situation, it would have been season-ending for them. It would have been
right.
A season-ending injury for them, but these two guys were able to come back from these injuries and have the best seasons of their career. Now, do you see them, the Denver Broncos, I'm saying, how far do you see them going into the playoffs, if not to the Super Bowl?
Well, Tony, I'll be honest with you. Everyone in Denver, Colorado, and any Bronco fan around the country, I think they have to be honest with themselves, including the media. Right now, the Denver Broncos with a 13-3 record and an 11-game winning streak, the fabulous season that Manning has put together right now, I think that there's only one thing that they can actually accomplish this season, and that would be the Lombardi Trophy and winning a Super Bowl. Peyton Manning has a 9-10 career playoff record. You're going to hear in the next few weeks that the Broncos possibly can't get past New England because he has a losing record against Tom Brady and he has a losing record in the playoffs. So I think the Denver Broncos know what the task is at hand right now. I think that it's Lombardi Trophy and a Super Bowl win or bust for the Denver Broncos.
And that's, I mean, you look at that, they got to beat, you got to beat Tom Brady, because when you think about the AFC, everything to me goes through New England. Everything goes through New England. Right. Do the Broncos, do Peyton Manning and the Broncos overcome that Goliath?
Because I think so. I think this is the year, Tony, to be honest with you. I mean, I think Peyton Manning, the one thing he's never had when he's gone up against Tom Brady in the past is a defense of this caliber right now. This Broncos defense has, you know, the most sacks in the NFL, 53 sacks. You know, they're fourth in the NFL in points allowed. So with Von Miller and Champ Bailey, I think that this defense with Elvis Dumervil, I think the Denver Broncos right now, this is the year that they're actually going to be able to beat the New England Patriots. And let's not forget, Tony, they're the number one seed, so New England will have to come to Denver.
And exactly. They would have to come to Denver because you guys are the number one seed. How do you go from making a playoff with Tim Tebow to the number one seed with
phenomenal. I mean, Peyton Manning is a large part of that, you know?
He played a great part in it. You know, he's lifted the rest of that team because, like you said, the rest of those guys are playing exceptional because of him.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, look at the young wide receivers that the Broncos have in Eric Decker and Demaryius Thomas, two of possibly the best young wide receivers core in the NFL. I mean, these two young wide receivers both have over 80 catches. I mean, Demaryius Thomas has 94 catches for 1,434 yards and 10 touchdowns, and Decker's got 85 catches with over 1,000 yards receiving and 13 touchdowns. So Manning's making these young guys and the entire team better. And the defense, I mean, the one guy, Tony, I want everyone to understand it, who's not getting a lot of credit, and I think it's great, though, but, you know, this guy is a huge reason why the Denver Broncos are 13-3, and that's Jack Del Rio, defensive coordinator. I mean, Jack Del Rio's got this defense right now flying around. The Broncos have one of the best defenses right now in the NFL, and Jack definitely gets a lot of credit on why this team is where they are right now.
And I look at that, I mean, when I look at your defense, to me, there are certain players on there that reminds me of legends.
Right.
Derek Thomas was a legend. Sorry for his passing, but you guys, this young guy, Von Miller, reminds me a lot of Derek Thomas, man. Flying off that end, making things happen. He is a key factor in you guys' defense, man, and it's unbelievable to see that this is taking place. Hey, V, man, we had a great time with you. We finna close out the show. You are an insider for Denver. You know Peyton Manning. You know the Denver Broncos. You are on top of this story each and every week on the Predominantly Orange. People, if you want to listen to Von Carter, you can go to predominantlyorange.com and check out week-to-week stories on the Denver Broncos with Von Carter. V, it was a pleasure to have you on, man. We're going to look back in 2 weeks to see, after a playoff game has been played, to bring you back on the air, man, to give us that inside track on the Denver Broncos. It was a pleasure. I'll call you tomorrow. I'm on my way to San Antonio to watch high schoolers, future NFL guys.
I appreciate the time, Tony, and I appreciate it. But stay tuned to the Denver Broncos. And like you said, predominantlyhonest.com is where you can catch me at all the time. I appreciate the love.
And, man, hey, as always, man, thank you. Thank you for giving us that information that my listening viewers need to know about the Denver Broncos. We're heading out of here. People, listen to the Tony Sands Show, because we're the only show that can bring you insiders from Dallas to Denver to South Florida here on the Tony Sands Show. Next week, come back again, and we're going to get deeper into the playoffs of the NFL here on the Tony Sands Show. Thank you.
If you have the need for speed, or do you simply just want to lose weight, or get the best training to help you develop your skills, whether it's football or any other sport, just to name a few different skills you can learn, like agility, balance, coordination, assistance, and resistance. In order to be the best, you got to get trained by the best. Tony Sands at GetSensational.com. For more information, call 954-691-7804. Once again, 954-691-7804. Call now.
I will rise to the top. Now I give it everything that I got. Yeah, I'm gon' ball. Yeah, I'm gon' be prepared for them suckers that be hating on me. Praise in the world that's so cold. Why so much hate? I don't know. Stereotyped and they can't see how it is growing up as a young G.